Our Bible reading this morning is found in the first letter that John wrote, and chapter 1. And if you remember, although probably not, because it's a little while ago, sometime back we shared why did John write these letters, and it was because he cared for the Christians and he wanted them to be established in the truth of the Word of God and not be led astray. And then we looked at who Jesus is, John telling us who Jesus is. And today we're going to look at the difference between light and darkness. If you read the Gospel of John, if you read the letters of John, he often talks about darkness and light. The pictures of light talk about life with God, and the pictures of darkness talk about life without God. So let's read from 1 John chapter 1. 1 John and chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. This life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy and your joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. This is God's word for us today. Well, I don't know about you, but I much prefer the light to the dark. Some people like the dark, don't they? Because when they go out in the dark, they can see the stars. And some people like the dark because they do things in the dark that no one else can see. But I much prefer the light. I don't like to be in a place where there's no light at all. Camping in the old days was quite interesting. You can ask my husband, he will tell you all about it. How if we went to a campsite and we were sleeping in a tent and there was a light just outside, I would sleep with my head facing the other way just so I could look at the door and see the light. And it's all a bit mad, isn't it, really? But that's the sort of person I am. I prefer to be in the light and not the darkness. And we read here, God is light. Doesn't just say that he gives light, the same as we say God is love. He doesn't just give love, he actually is love. He doesn't just give us light, he is light. And he dwells in light. There's no darkness in God at all. We're even told that in heaven there's no need for the sun nor for light. Could be interesting. Because Jesus himself is there, and God is the light. And again then, just in case you didn't hear it the first time. God is light. There is no darkness in him. He lives in unapproachable light. Jesus came to be the light of the world, so that the people who live in darkness have seen a great light. Arise, shine, your light has come. And Jesus is the light of the world, who gives light to everyone who comes into this world. Back in his gospel, John wrote very similar things. He wrote this. In him, that's Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to testify to the light so that through him all might believe. The true light that gives light to everyone who is coming into the world. And in John chapter 3, Jesus says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness rather than light. Light has come into the world. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The light of Christ has come into the world. What does that mean? And how do we react? God is light. He is holy and pure. He dwells in splendor and he dwells in glory. And he shows himself and shines his light on our hearts. God is shining his light on you and me today. What is it showing? What is God's light showing as it shines on our hearts today? You know, if you're in a dark room, okay, you're in a dark room, you've got all the curtains closed, the doors are shut, the light's not on, you can't see what it looks like, can you? You can't see what's going on. Whenever we go on holiday, you know, the first night that you're in the hotel room, we shut the curtains, and I normally say, it's a bit dark in here, so we have to all open the curtains, even if it's only half an inch. And you can see then what's going on all around you. Jesus is shining his light on your heart. What will he see? What will you do? You know, you might go into a room and think it looks perfectly good until you shine the torch on it. How often have us ladies, or perhaps you gentlemen as well, if you're like this, have done the dusting? Oh, yes. And we think we've done a fabulous job, don't we? We spent hours and hours dusted and we've polished and we've hoovered. And then the sun comes out and shines into the room. You think, if anybody came in and saw that, they'd think I hadn't touched this place for a month. My worst is windows. Anyone else have trouble with windows? You know, you spend ages, don't you? And you rub and you scrub and you use the best thing. And then if they use newspaper and you do all these things, and you think, oh, that looks brilliant. And then the sun shines. And I always say you can tell when I clean the windows because they look worse than they did before. God's light is shining on your heart today. What does he see? Does he see unforgiven sin? Does he see a heart that doesn't love him? Does he see a heart that doesn't trust in him? Or does he see a heart that's been forgiven, that is living in a way that pleases him and in trust with him? Jesus said to his disciples that the problem was that the light had come into the world and most people didn't take any notice of it. See, there's no point in me deciding that I'm going to go and clean my lounge if I then say, oh, there's plenty of dust in that corner, but I will leave it. If I turn the light on and say that something is wrong and needs to be sorted, and I just think, I can't be bothered. It's not that bad. Mrs. So-and-so next door, her windows are much dirtier than mine. So mine's not too bad. Have we allow God's light to shine on our heart, to show us our sin, to show us our faults, to show us our need of a Saviour, and asked him, as we were singing just now, to cleanse us through the shedding of his blood? Or are we ignoring the light, thinking that it doesn't matter? Have we asked Jesus to be our Saviour? Have we asked him to forgive our sins and lead us in his light? You may say, well, I'm a Christian, this doesn't apply to me. John is writing here to Christians. And he's saying, you may claim that you're walking in the light, but if you haven't asked him to forgive your daily sins, you're not. If you haven't forgiven the brother or sister or the person who has sinned against you, you're not walking in the light. If you're not caring for your brother or sister and those in need, you are not walking in the light. You might as well still be walking in the darkness. We need to walk in the light of God's word. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Will we allow God's light to lead us and change us today? Or do we prefer to live in the dark? We walk in the light when we confess our sins and are forgiven. We walk in the light when we have fellowship with each other because we behave well. And if we walk in the light, we won't fall over ourselves. Many years ago, perhaps some of you did this, we used to go to church camp. Remember church camp? And some church camps were very fortunate. They were in schools, so they were very posh. But when I went to church camp, it was in the middle of a field. Remember that? And you slept, if you were really fortunate, remember the bell tents? Oh, that was interesting. And then we went to ridge tents. But if you'll pardon me mentioning this in church, if you needed to use any facilities during the night, they were usually down the other end of the field. Remember? And in the case of where we had our field, it was very bumpy and full of cowpats, which was very interesting. And so, if you wanted to go out in the middle of the night, you needed to walk in the light. Otherwise, you don't know what you might fall into. You took your torch and off you went. That meant you didn't trip over any guy ropes. You didn't fall over any molehills, and you certainly didn't fall into anything else that you didn't want to fall into. You needed to walk in the light so you wouldn't stumble. We need to walk in the light of God's word so we will not fall. It's so easy to fall, isn't it? To give in to temptation, to do and say and think the wrong things. But if we live in the light of his word, we will not stumble. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. So we won't stumble ourselves. If we're walking in the light, we won't make others stumble either. And if you're walking around in the dark, I don't drive, but you know what it's like, ever driven down some country lanes or something and there's no lights and it's dark? And if someone's following you, they're going to go wrong just the same as you. We're walking in the light of God. We won't make other people stumble either. And we will all progress in the faith. God is light. He's shining his light into our hearts today. What difference is it making? Are we allowing him to lead us through his light? No, it doesn't need a lot of light, does it, to make a difference? I don't know if you can remember, some of you are too young, but do you remember the strikes when we used to have the power cuts? Oh yes, all of a sudden everything would go off and you'd be in pitch darkness. And all you needed was a match or a little candle, and it would make all the difference. You know, sometimes God only gives us a little bit of light. One light to show the next step. Sometimes we ask God to give us enough light to flood a football stadium to show us the rest of our lives. But he doesn't do that very often, does he? But he gives us enough light for the next step, for the next day. But if we don't live in the light, we live in the darkness. There's no darkness in God. In John's writings, darkness talks about hate and sin and going the wrong way. If you read John's account of the Last Supper, it tells us that Judas went out to betray Jesus, and it was night. And John's not just saying it was night time, although it was. He's saying in Judas's heart, it was night. In the life of the world that night, it was night. Because Satan was going to do his worst. If we don't believe in Jesus, we are living in darkness. The darkness stands for those who don't yet know Jesus. The darkness stands for those who are against God. Darkness stands for ignorance. Don't know what's going on and why we're here. Darkness stands for life separated from God. Life without God here and in eternity is spoken of in terms of darkness. This morning, each one of us is walking. We're on a journey. We are either walking with God in the light towards the greatest light of all in heaven, or we are walking in the darkness, not with God, and away from God. So what is our choice? What is our response this morning? God is light. He sees right through us. Bit like x-rays, I suppose. I don't understand how x-rays work, but they can see right inside you, can't they? You know, we can pretend to be all sorts of things. We can pretend to be good. We can pretend to be religious. But God sees inside. He shines his light on our hearts. There's an old hymn that I don't know what anyone sings anymore, but it says this: eternal light, how pure the soul must be. When placed within thy searching sight, it shrinks not, but with calm delight can live and look on thee. Now that's a bit old-fashioned, isn't it? What does it mean? It means that God is shining his light. He's not looking on the outside, he's looking on the inside. And we cannot stand before him. You know, sometimes people say, when I see God, I'll tell him. When I see God, I'll say this. I'm all right, I'll get in. I'll just tell him everything that I've done and all the things I've got against him. It's not going to be quite like that when we stand before God, is it? His light will search into our hearts. But Jesus came into this world to shine his light in a good way, to show us our faults, to show us the way ahead, to show us the way that we live, to show us the way to heaven. And we have to decide whether to allow that light to work in our lives. And it's my prayer that if there's anyone here who hasn't done that yet, that today you will come to Jesus, ask him to forgive you, ask him to lead you, ask him to guide you, ask him to take you home to heaven one day. And if we love Jesus already, are we walking in the light? Are we reading his word? Are we spending time in prayer? Are we allowing him to lead us? Or are we making ourselves a new darkness, just doing whatever we want to do? Will we continue to live in darkness today? Or will we walk in the light and have fellowship with him now and forever? John says there's a choice. There's light and there's darkness. I know which I prefer. How about you? The table to remember that the light of the world was put out by people. The light of the world came and people didn't want him. The light of the world came and they refused to follow him. The light of the world came and they preferred to live in darkness, and they put him on the cross, where for several hours he hung in darkness, taking the punishment for our sin, so that we could come to him and know him. And this is one of my favourite old hymns, sung to one of my favourite old tunes. And I just hope that as I sing it, it's a blessing. I heard the voice of Jesus.